Welcome to the Salon Professional Podcast, brought to you by Evolve Salon Systems. If you are in the professional salon industry, this podcast was created for you. We are going to talk about everything from trending topics, motivation, business savvy, and bring you incredible guests along the way. If you love what you're hearing, please hit that subscribe button and definitely leave us a review. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to the Salon Professional Podcast. I'm on remote location and I could not be happier, you guys. Lisa Bean here with one of our favorites, Luscious & Co. Ladies, how long has it been?
Forever.
It's been forever.
And like a few things have gone on, right? We're going to get into that. But we're here with Kristen, also our team leader, and we're having a little round table today. And we just feel like it's time to bring joy. But sometimes what happens before the joy?
The storm.
For sure. The storm. Like, what are all those, like, literal, figurative, and literal? We're not even talking pandemic here, are we?
No.
So we're going to talk about the stuff that got to major joy. And when I talk major joy, I'm talking about opening new locations, being at 25% retail, profit. Just amazing numbers, amazing things, like your team downstairs thriving and customers on a huge wait list that you can't even get them in here. You're having to hire more staff. But let's start with the pandemic. That shut us all down, right?
Yeah. Think that when you think about pandemic furnace salon, they're probably all feeling the same pain.
What are they feeling? What are you guys feeling?
Defeated. Mm-hmm. Questioning if you want to do this anymore. Right. Scared.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. So there's a lot. And some salons are coming back. They're like, I'm so busy. And some salons are not busy yet. And they haven't seen people since the pandemic started. And they're feeling a lot of pain. And what advice do you have for people that are scared right now?
I think the only way to know if your fear is real is to face it. And this season especially, I think that being home and maybe phasing out of something or taking a break from something, you don't really know if that fear is still valid unless you step back in and see if it is scary. And sometimes, from my experience, sometimes the best things in life are a little bit scary at first.
So you guys thought, like everyone else, like, we're in trouble. We've had this pandemic. What are we going to do? Like, we've got to, like, how are we going to get by, right?
Yeah.
What other things happened?
Well, where we were when we came back, I think the biggest thing for our customers, like everybody else, was they weren't ready to come back into the salon yet.
Right.
And some of our team wasn't ready to come back into the salon. So once everybody got a bit more comfortable with the idea of being out in public, and our gears weren't grinding as hard as they were at the beginning.
Going through the motions a little bit. There was like a heaviness.
Yeah, definitely.
And I would say, I was telling people at that time, it's funny, I used the word joy with this. I was like, you have to bring the joy back into your space. And I got that from my friend, Jessie Carter, down in Georgia. She, because Georgia opened up before anyone else.
Right.
And she opened and she was like, there was no joy in our space. She was like, it was terrible. And so what happened was she just started creating joy. And it maybe it was a song playlist.
Yeah.
Maybe it was having a stylist taking over the radio for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or things like that. Like, nobody could hug or touch. But it's bringing joy back.
Yeah.
So you guys are on this trying to bring back joy. Then what happened?
Then we came to work one day and our salon manager got here before we did.
Yeah. She called
she
you just what she said.
She walked to the salon. Very calmly, and sent us a message and said, before you come in, I just want to let you know we may not be able to work today because we have a flood in the salon. And once we got here, we saw it was more than a flood. It was
raining.
Literally raining inside.
When is this? Give me the timeline. You're shut down for COVID. How long were you reopened?
This was 4 months after, and we were still at 50% capacity.
So you're at 50% capacity. You'd paid a ton of money to put in all that plexiglass and for sanitation and for PPE and all this stuff. So you guys are, like, financially, like, scared.
Right.
And then it's raining in your salon.
Yeah.
It's in your brand new. Should we say you just remodeled and put a lot of money into that remodel?
Yeah, we remodeled downstairs. We expanded. That's a new space. So that was probably only 3 years old.
Yep.
Everything was only 3 years old.
So it's raining and there's a huge flood.
Uh-huh.
Did you have to shut down?
Yeah. Yeah, we did, actually. We didn't know. We thought maybe this was, you know, like when you get really scared of something and you're like, I'm wrong. That's not really scary.
Right.
No, yeah. It was, we had to shut down. And I do want to give a shout out to Vibes Hair Lounge in Shelton, our beautiful neighbors, who opened their doors for us and our customers. So just imagine two salons working together.
So when they say they're neighbors, like they're literally like a block down the road. They're another amazing partner salon of ours. And they gave you the keys to the salon.
They
or like,
did.
Just come in and here's the days we're off, work.
Yeah. They said, here's the keys.
You That's can community
you
people.
Need to do, be a part of this. And to talk about fear, you know, going through quarantine, we were fearful to come back to clients who wouldn't understand that we had a lot of limitations for them. And
right.
then we had to close again and tell
Then you painstakingly
clients.
Get them rebooked.
Yeah. We like, convinced them. It's safe. Mm-hmm. And then we tell these same people
that
we were closing.
So then you're closing.
Yeah. And our customers were really confused. Actually, our phone lines blew up and they were like, you're closing forever. So you're going out of business. And we were like, no, we're not closing forever. And then they asked the question, well, when can I come back? I've already waited for this appointment for so long. I mean, it took
right.
us about 5 months to catch up. So
right.
some of these customers still were waiting for their
first appointment.
Yeah. And so that's how backed up we were. And now we're saying, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't have that answer.
You're like, generously, we're going to get 2 days at a salon down the road. But we're certainly not going to be able to accommodate everyone.
No. I mean, we have 15 stylists and we're open 65 hours a week.
Right.
And now we have 2 days.
Yeah.
And I think they have 4 stations.
Right.
So we were creative in figuring that out.
You were grateful and creative.
Very, very.
So you're shutting down again. Then what happens?
After we shut down, we learned all the universe has a funny way of speaking to you sometimes. You know, you think you've figured out the hardest parts of being a business owner. You've made it past that scary first year. Then you've made it to 5. Then you finally are profitable. And then you're able to increase your profits. And you go from no employees to how am I going to find a stylist to how can I find 5
right.
to 10.
Right.
So you're at this point where you say, okay, I've got the hiring and the marketing and I've mastered inventory control and we have trainers and then...
Assistants, we're thriving. Yeah. We just did a huge remodel. We've doubled our space. We're not only that, you're a wedding venue, essentially.
Yeah.
I'm not vet,
yes.
but you
yeah.
are a huge wedding bridal business. You have people that are booked.
Yeah. And then the universe said, actually, you guys don't know enough about insurance and deductibles and how adjusters work. So we're going to teach you about that.
Oh.
And so we learned.
So you had to, this wasn't all paid for by insurance.
No.
You had to dig into the, what would be your best advice right now for people? Is it to check their policy?
It's to check your policy, tell your adjuster how many shampoo sinks you have, how many floors you have, how many chairs and employees you have. But most importantly, there are certain things that don't get covered if you're not the property owner.
Okay.
There are, in our case, just to be transparent, our leak happened from a shampoo sink on the second floor in one of our bridal suites. The water pressure in the neighborhood that we're in is a bit antiquated, and the city doesn't have, I forgot the fancy term, but it's the gauge that slows down if it needs to.
Oh,
so
to temper it.
Yes.
Okay.
So if there was ever a leak in most like new buildings or new neighborhoods, something would slow that down if the water was flowing too fast.
Okay.
In ours, it didn't. It just kept running at full steam.
And of course, like overnight, so then ceilings are on the ground.
Yes.
And okay.
And the whole, at that point, the pipe just burst because there was too much coming through it. So
pressure.
The reason why I share that is, as salon owners, you know, we're professionals in the beauty industry. We either love hair, we love makeup, or we've learned the business of like the leadership side of things. But I'm guessing no one listening to this is a plumber or an electrician or an insurance adjuster, nor are we. So these aren't things we would know to look for. And
yeah.
I mean, to walk into that, we don't know what disaster recovery plans are, but they have them. We didn't know how much it costs to air a salon out or...
dry the walls out.
Yes. We also didn't know that there are rules if something gets wet long enough that even if it can dry out, you're not able to use it anymore.
Right.
It has to be completely gutted and removed.
So like your equipment was it covered, but not necessarily all the
right.
thousands and...
There stairwells and floors and subbeams and things that I didn't even know the words of.
And the details, like your ceiling. I mean, that was one of your focal points. Like you guys were so excited and
yeah,
spent so much money restoring and...
Yeah.
So... your message right now is check your policies, work with your adjuster, work with your insurance person, and make sure you're covered properly.
Yeah, schedule a 5-minute call and say, if I were to have a flood, a worst case scenario flood, and it not be a fault of mine, it's not a mistake, what would not be covered? If the whole salon was destroyed, walls, ceilings, lights, equipment, what would I have
What's
to pay
my out-of-product? Okay.
And if they tell you any amount of money that you don't have in the bank or that would clean you out or would force you to take a loan, then you need a new policy.
So, guys, people listening, do that.
Yes.
So the flood happens. How many months?
The flood closed us down for about a month. And to be truthful, we only reopened as fast as we did because we cleaned out every dollar we had. We knew that coming back as fast as possible was the most important thing because we had already lost business from COVID.
You lost so much business. Yeah. And you have services like hair extensions and things that are like my weave is on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Like I could live without my color, but my hair extensions are now 7 inches down my head. What yeah. do I do? And so we had to make that hard decision. If you're listening to this and you think that's the right decision for you in crisis mode, it may or may not be. I mean, someone had asked me at that time, would you be willing to file bankruptcy to save your business? And I think bankruptcy is one of those things where, unless you really know what that means, you essentially can't do anything. You
right.
lose all your credit. You lose all your credit cards. You would have nothing left.
You can't get a loan for years. If you want to bring in a product line, you have to have cash to pay for it.
Right.
So you aggressively reopen. You spend all your dollars. You're, I don't know, eating ramen or something at home. Like... Mm. Put college on hold for the kids. Like,
we'll be fine.
It's like not a big deal.
Right.
Your 6-year-old start working. They take a job.
It was time for them to learn.
It's fine. Then things get, they heat up.
Oh, yes, they did heat up.
What's wrong with me?
I
tried to be clever. So we've got pandemic.
Yeah.
Open back up. You have a flood and then things really...
Yeah, so we were sleeping and we were just getting ready to come back in. And
how long are you open for?
Not long. I don't remember exactly. A few weeks, probably.
About 3 weeks?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And it was... And not to cut you off, but you really have to experience the first few weeks of a reopen after a flood. Mm-hmm. It didn't smell normal.
Right.
It didn't feel quite normal.
Things People are still, angry because yeah. there's a pandemic and they
Things
look
are,
terrible.
You know, they're usable, but they're kind of like, oh, the floor is like 90% done.
Right.
Or like, we have a new desk, but we're still missing half of the replacement items to go with it.
Where are our brushes and combs
yes.
and clips? And where's
right.
the color? Like, you moved 8N. Like, what
I
happened?
I mean, we had everything we needed, but we had to make the decision. Do we wait until this is 100% perfect, or do we rock and roll at 75%?
You rocked and rolled at 75%.
Yeah.
Okay. And God.
So we're getting ready to come back in, and then the phone rang, and they said, hey, it's one of your neighbors, fellow business owner, our building is on fire. And
there's,
I said,
this is like not me laughing, like that's like, it's like, it's yeah. like what?
I thought, well, I learned what I needed to for insurance. There's nothing left to learn.
Right.
But
so there's a fire.
There's a fire.
Next door.
Yeah.
Does it hit your...
So,
there's smoke. There's...
There is. So the great thing about complaining to the universe that your building is old and it's not fair that your water is not to the capacity that other salons
right.
have. It's not fair. Well, right. this old building that was built before they used drywall and sheetrock
right.
protected us from the fire.
Oh!
Kept the fire out. So there was some smoke damage, but the fire did
So your new space...
Out. Yeah.
Had the smoke damage. Like you just, and their aesthetic is white.
It's very
Oh, but it's white plus white, and then there's more white.
Yeah.
With a tiny bit of blush.
Yeah.
But white, right?
Mm-hmm.
So smoke and white. You're like, we're going with a charcoal effect.
Yes. We're going for carbon.
So things got ruined.
Not many. Unfortunately, the entire block was shut down, and our neighbor's building was
yeah.
completely destroyed. So, how can you complain when your neighbor just lost everything,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we fixed what we needed and replaced what
So
we
the
needed
things you be. Hated about the old building actually saved your business from being destroyed again.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So I think that's what the universe was saying.
How mad were you, though?
I was really mad.
How many, like, did you guys just say, like, do we just throw in the towel? Like, what is the universe telling us? Like, we just didn't.
Well, you know, we just wanted to head down here, and the road was closed, so we were watching it on the news.
So you have no idea at that point.
And they were just interviewing, you know, people that were helping with the fire, and then there's our building in the background. It's not just their building. There's our building and all the money we just cleaned out to save the building.
Right.
And I know how insurance works. They don't. It's not, if we had to file another claim.
You would have no insurance.
2 weeks after filing the flood claim because of the, you don't get all your money. It doesn't work like
that. And your premium already went up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
From right. Whatever. So you're already paying a higher premium and then you're like, oh, guess what? We had a fire, so now come fix that. And then nobody's going to insure you again.
No.
So you're saved though. So that you guys are, this is not a great time. Is the morale down? Because people are, you know, like your team, or are they just like...
The team, like every other stylist in the industry during COVID, really reevaluated themselves and their careers. I know a lot of really talented professionals that decided to not do this anymore. And God bless you if you're listening to this. And some did. But when they came back, they still weren't thrilled. And it was weird. And we can't hug. And I can't see customers. And how can I make the money that I've missed out on? Then the flood happens. And I think at that point, and we have... the best group of people. I'm not just saying that.
No, you're not.
Every person handpicked, like, loved to the max.
They go through a really rigorous training program, assistant program, and I think...
they've really committed to being here. As much as anyone can commit to being anywhere, and they're like, what do we do, Liz? What do we do? What do we do, Jess? Like, if this continues happening, what's...
You're starting to think like you're jinxed or something, right?
Yeah. And, you know, as a stylist, and if you're behind the chair and you're listening to this and you have coworkers, what would happen to them if something happened to you or to your building? And that is a responsibility as a business owner, where this is all sad and unfortunate and it sucks, but what about all those people that are counting on us to figure it out?
Right, because you also want to be probably angry a little bit, but you have to, like, put on the brave leader face, and you guys, so you, at least you had each other, right, to really vent to. So you're, how did you bring the joy back to the space?
When we reopened from all of that, we were able to move back downstairs, and we just...
Oh, wait, we forgot. What did you do? You had, like, a baby, too? Were you up?
Yeah,
so you're on, like, maternity leave during all this.
I was on maternity leave during the flood. And then I came right back for the fire. And I will, you know, I have to give so much credit.
And homeschooling, right? I saw your little homeschool. Yeah. All those
she
little babies.
She missed a lot of good action. You know, the most action in our whole life.
So you guys are homeschooling.
Yeah.
You've got floods, fires.
Yeah.
Like a team that's not sure they even want to be hairstylists anymore. You've got a book of brides that are booked out for the next 5 years because you're known as the bridal salon. You've got people with hair extensions hanging down their butts and you've got to get them in.
Right. Yeah.
How did you rally the team back? Cause we have some businesses that are still like, we've got to put the joy back in the space. Like how did you, like what, tell me like just the regular stuff you did to just start fresh and bring everybody sort of back. Yeah.
The most important thing that we thought was that took priority at that point was to have a recommitment ceremony. Kind of like when you're married for a really long time.
Yeah.
And things get hard and, our recommitment ceremony was a team meeting in person during times where like we still weren't doing in-person team meetings.
Sure.
And we brought everybody back in and we revisited our values, our mission statement that we had written together 2 years earlier. And we added some really hard things in there.
Like
one
what?
Of which was we stand back up when we fall every time. But every time is not negotiable. Meaning, if we're at a point where it's getting hard to continue standing back up, we support your need to sit down, but we have to keep going. We have to, as a group, we have to stand up and we have to continue serving our best work. And so a lot of the light that we found was in telling the team that we were going full force. All of the pending certifications for some of the team that needed extension certifications, we were going full force. We were not timing out on anything.
Okay.
All the dreams and wishes that everybody
business
had,
as usual.
Business as usual. We will figure out how to do it. We are committed and invested into them as stylists. They stuck by us through this entire time. And so we had a recommitment ceremony where we let them know we are 100% committed to you and your dreams and your aspirations. And that helped a lot. We also reminded the team at that point that if there was anyone I mean, and we have close to 30 employees. So if there was any one person that was beginning to lose faith in us as leaders or in the industry, we would co-sign on them leaving. We actually told them that we would create a compensation package for them to leave and to help them find something else.
Okay.
Because it got really hard at that point, you know.
Did you have any negative, like, and I'm not saying you're calling out anybody, but there must have been people that were like, just going through their own emotional stuff.
No, absolutely. I mean, and a lot of it, we have a promise to transparency, and which is hard, but we
really
have
hard.
The hard conversations. We're that salon that has a budget meeting every 6 months, and we show them our profit loss.
Okay.
And we say, this is where your 50% is going. You should know where your investment is going. You could be your own boss, and you're not for a reason. This is where the 50% is being invested. So being that transparent comes at a cost. It comes at people telling you, I'm not happy. You don't have to guess it.
What?
Yeah. I'm saying, I'm losing the passion. I don't feel excited when I come to work. I'm scared this is going to happen again. I don't like doing the same thing every day after 5 years. And those are...
So you were going to send... You said, I'm willing to send you off with love and hope for another... So you were like, okay, that's okay.
Yeah. We will give you... We actually had a meeting and I said, if this is not what you want to do, I will agree to... Unemployment. If this is, if you want to find something else, we're cool with it. Everyone that's here needs
it. No one took it, did they?
Nobody. No. They all kind of looked at me like, we're offended that you'd even say that. But it wasn't coming from a place of offense. We wanted to let people know that they're loved and appreciated. But if this is too much, it's okay.
Right. Because it was tumultuous. There were a lot of things that went on. So you had a recommitment ceremony, and then you kind of went back to your original values and business as usual, but with some added things in there that you just said.
Yep.
Added covenants.
Yeah.
To the... Okay.
And I think that it's important for us to even do that as individuals. Like, how often are you reevaluating like what you want to do with your life?
Right.
And I think we tell our team this a lot. You're either on the receiving end of... someone giving you something, or you're on the giving end where you're giving someone something. And here it's not that way. We're giving and receiving, and it's a recommitment every day coming to work.
Will you say to somebody, you're not bringing joy to the space right now?
Mm-hmm. And we've had that
and we can't, that can't continue.
Yeah. We use hard words like abrasive energy.
Oh.
And if this is hard.
I think my husband would say I have that. Oh, I'm going to share that with him. That just, I was like, oh my God, abrasive energy.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know,
I'm going to put that there.
We joke about this, but we need it too. Do we need to take a walk? Do you want to take a walk? I can clear your book out. Do you want me to reassign this? Well, we have a beautiful park and a liquor store on the same block. So, like, do you need to go pick up something and take a walk?
Do you want to take a walk, like, forever? No, I'm just kidding. So, you have abrasive energy. Your energy is bringing other people down. Because we know once negativity starts, it can be very ugly and it can spread. So, you have to nip that, and you have to have really tough conversations. And you have to also be willing to lose probably somebody that brings a lot of money to this business. Yeah. So, you just do it anyway.
Yeah. Well,
you'll ruffle the feathers.
Long term, people want to enjoy where they work. Mm-hmm. That's the number one factor. Money is important, but if you're making a lot of money, you hate your job, you probably won't stick around. So
you have to make sure you're not, as a leader, allowing people to stay that could be hurting the morale of the team. So that's a big thing, because people are really scared to lose employees. We're in a time right now, you can't get people to work for you. So they're like, you crazy, but you know what? It's worse. It's worse. If you'd rather have people that'll actually come work 12-hour days joyfully than someone that'll come in for 6 hours to cover their shift. Okay.
So we also changed some business policies prior to all of this. We used to work a schedule that was required of the business.
Okay.
So like if you need to do 2-night shifts, because that's what the business, not us, but if that's what customers are saying, that's what we have to do.
Okay.
Same for weekends. During our recommitment ceremony, we announced that we would be doing rotating weekends for anyone who wants to lay off. We told everybody to reevaluate their schedules if you're working too much.
So weekends were mandatory prior to...
Saturdays were mandatory, and then every other Sunday was mandatory.
Ooh, so you came back and you changed that.
We did, yeah.
Because Sundays are... like your biggest days sometimes, right?
Sundays are big days or short days, but they're big days. Saturdays are huge.
Yeah.
So we reminded people how much are your Saturdays worth? And I don't mean in money. Everybody makes money on Saturdays. but how many baseball games of your children have you missed? How tired are you? Are you coming back on Sunday happy? And if these answers are no, it's possible we need to reevaluate the business you see on Saturday, find other dates or times where you can see them, increase your prices.
So you opened it up to people being able to, for teammates to be able to make their own hours. Meaning they had to commit to a certain amount of hours. Yes. You couldn't say.
So we said, if you want to only work 3 days, that's totally cool with us. We will have to backfill the chair. So in full transparency, it's not a free-for-all. But you tell us what you want to work. And
so if somebody that worked 40 hours came to you and said, I now want to work 20.
Cool. I have to hire another 20. But that's totally fine.
Right. Fair.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to hire another 20, but you can, okay.
And with the weekends, we said to half of our team, we're going to rotate the weekends. So there's less of this. Now, it took, if you're hearing this and you're like, I'll do that, it took months to implement that. We can't just cancel appointments and we're booked out months. So
this it was something to look forward to, though. If you were always working weekends, you're like, oh my God, in 6 months, I'm going to not be working all those weekends. It was a gift.
It sure was a gift.
A gift of time.
That's it. We just want people to come to work and be their best selves. And if you can't do that because you're tired, then work less. And if you can't do that because you don't have your resources, then find your resources.
So you have each chair timed out.
Yes.
So that's really important in business. You have to have your these chairs timed out. You know what each chair has to bring. Mm-hmm. If your awesome employee is like, I can't give you that amount of time, you're okay with that, but you're like, it's going to be a chair. Right.
Yeah.
I think I just wanted to ride.
You know, we have metrics involved, so there's never any guesswork. We post our numbers in the break room. We know what our booking percentage is every day, every week, every month. So we kind of know what to expect with our team members. If someone's working 7 days a week, but their average booking percentage is 60%, then they don't need to be working that many days. It's unnecessary.
Right.
Also, if someone says, you know what, I want to keep my hours as is, but I do want the weekends off or every other weekend off, we told them, in order to keep this chair the way it is, you have to maintain 90% of your revenue.
Yep.
And if you can't, then we'll have to reevaluate if that schedule works. Because again, if you're a business owner and you're like, I can't let people make their own schedules because then they just won't come and I'll have an empty chair.
You'll have an empty chair.
Yeah. Is there a chance that will happen? Yes, if you've hired the wrong person. No, if you've hired the right person. And you won't know until you try.
You have to know your numbers.
You do
have to. So a lot of people just don't. And what's cool, I'll just shout out Evolve a little bit. We work with salons on their numbers. That's like one of the biggest things that we do. Yeah. So it's like your business consultant, and we're thanking you for spending your dollars with us.
100%.
And that's how we thank you for doing that. And I think, I mean, you guys already had great business heads on your shoulders. So I'm not saying we came in and saved you by any means,
no,
but
you
I mean,
definitely helped.
But I think like
for
that's.
For industry standard, you bring a lot of knowledge as far as what goals. I mean, we all want to make money. That's the bottom line. But are you being productive? Are you looking at? I mean, you opened our eyes to things that we would have never known.
Remember what Jerry told you the first time he came here?
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
What did he tell you?
He said, "This isn't a coffee shop. Get rid of your coffee maker."
This isn't. And what about your? You were just upstairs on the second floor.
Yes.
He's like, you'll never hit your goals if
he
you
did.
Don't
he said,
open
you
up downstairs.
Move downstairs. And we said, Jerry, it's going to take forever to.
We can't afford it.
To do that. And he said, well, as soon as you can, you have to.
And how? So from the time Jerry and Kristen like had that conversation with you, how long?
3 years.
Two years.
Two and a half to 3 years.
In your mind, how far away was you opening up downstairs?
50. Never. Honestly, 50. Never felt possible.
What are you doing? And you closed your. A piece of your business.
Yeah, so when we first opened, we had obviously the adults. So our business was created because we used to do mobile weddings, and we did that because it was our passion project. We had other jobs.
Makeup, you guys love makeup
but
artists.
We wanted to enjoy a piece of our life, and we don't really talk about this a lot, but since the subject of this podcast is joy, I feel like it's only necessary to share that we had a big life change in our lives while we were exploring opening. At that time, it was called Luscious Lashes. And
oh my God, Luscious Locks and Lashes. Luscious Locks and Lashes.
Yeah.
You were the LLL.
Yes, we were.
Oh my
so
God.
So we were like, you know, we love these corporate day jobs because we have expensive lives, but there's no joy here and I want to enjoy my life. So I think I'm going to start doing bridal work. And so we went to school and we started doing it and we loved it, and more and more and more we hated going to our day jobs. So
if only we could just do makeup. yeah. in a beautiful space.
You know, the thing about joy is that it doesn't come in a perfect package. You really have to look for it. And that kind of found us while we were hating our job so bad.
You loved your...
I wouldn't use the word hate, but it wasn't easy. And so in the process,
I believe, Jess, you hated it.
Trying to figure all of this out, something really tragic ended up happening that made me and Jess kind of filter through all the unnecessary things that didn't matter that we thought did. And there was a school shooting at my daughter's school, and she was okay, but a lot of her friends
were not.
And a lot of our friends lost their children, and that changed, honestly, the rest of my whole life. I did not want to spend another day of my life away from the people that I loved, hating what I did for a living.
You're like, I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, it was just.
And you had your baby, and you're looking at people that didn't anymore, right?
Right. And I said, you know.
I'll never forget you telling me about that bus ride, going to find out if your child. You made me cry.
Oh,
my gosh, she's going to make me cry.
But, you know, I had what's called survivor's guilt, and so did my daughter for a really long time.
Aww.
And the only way to move past that is to celebrate the life that you do have. Mm-hmm. Because you're doing a disservice to people that can't be here by doing anything that goes against your living will. And everybody's living will is different. In mine, I just wanted to thoroughly enjoy what I did with my sister. And I wanted to help other people. I didn't know how I wanted to help them, but I really wanted to help. And what I learned from that was, we started doing more and more weddings. I loved what I was able to do as years went on and when we were able to do that. But all these beautiful professionals that we worked with didn't know the business. They didn't understand that.
No, they were like pocketing their tips, like how, like I can get Starbucks tomorrow.
Right.
Like,
and
right,
I,
that
and
whole
I just
thing.
Said, you know, what do you think? And we would just share ideas, and they'd say, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know
and,
what you're talking about.
I mean, listen, we didn't know things they knew, too. So it was a mutual.
You were thinking, if I can bring business to this talented group of, at the time, just women. There's a boy here now. I know, I'm like.
Yeah.
You made me cry.
Sorry.
I'm not happy with you.
But, you know, since then.
In front of Kristen. Damn it. No, that's incredible. And I didn't even know that you were involved in the Newtown shooting until like 2 years of knowing you. So I know that's not something you like share.
Well,
a lot.
You know, I think that anyone,
survivor's guilt.
There's a lot of people who go through traumas in their life, and there's,
yeah,
you know,
that's
trauma's not a
like the worst one.
It's, I mean, you could go through anything and it'd be traumatic,
yeah.
But how you respond to that, I think, will define how you respond to future trauma. And you know, your salon
fire ain't got nothing on you.
You know, you kind of have to say like, can we fix this? And in most cases, it can be fixed.
Yes,
you know, the worst of the worst can be, but like, you know, joy is something that can be found.
And joy was your little Glitzy Twins business. And I don't mean little in a condescending way. I mean, you started a really lovely business, and that's how we met you. Because Kristen brought her niece here.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
kids business.
What did you do with your joyful business?
Well, we had the one half of our business was for the grown-ups, and that was mostly, you know, I think we had like two or three stylists, and then we did weddings on the weekends. And then on the other side of the business, which was our idea to keep sustainable income coming in, was we helped kids. And we did this over-the-top kids salon, which was so much fun, and we got to meet and work with all these kids that were our kids' ages, and they were laughing, and they were singing karaoke.
Oh,
and
it was beautiful.
It was the best of times.
The dress-up closet?
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. The boas. I mean, I just remember, like, the boas, the whole thing, and then...
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, too, because it was not profitable at all. So
Jerry, who's, like, got a heart of gold and, like, sobs more than me, what did he tell you?
He said, if you don't close this down, it will suck your business dry. The good parts of your business will sink with that side of your business.
Were you a little bit mad at him?
I was. We were sad. We were like, I don't want
Jerry's the devil.
But, you know, I think that that's what in business we're not capable of doing that. We're not capable of letting the wrong people go. We're not capable of having the hard conversations.
That was our first lesson in what could happen when you make emotional decisions.
Yeah.
Right, so you wanted to keep the nostalgia, and you loved having all the kids around and the joy, but it was not profitable.
No.
So you could have kept it and been happy, but you would not have met this amazing group. I walk into the salon today.
Oh.
It's hustling and bustling. It's, you're now how many? You've 30 employees. I mean, you have a wait list. Talk to me about your retail.
We do, retail is a really strong aspect of our business. It wasn't always, so if you're like me, I used to hear that and I'd be like, yeah.
You're full of it.
Yeah.
It's not, just certain salons can do that. Because you guys, like what, Kristen, I'll just put you on the spot. What were some, when they were bad at retail, what were some like their percentages?
These guys?
Yeah. When you were like banging your head against the wall, like, sell some shampoo.
6% retail sold to service revenue.
Okay, so 6%, and the national average we want is probably about 4 to 6, and then we want to be, to even be really on the profit game, you want to be at 10, right? Yeah.
Our goal was 10 to 12.
You were at 6, and then what were the excuses? Just say it, sister. What were the excuses they were using? Like, oh my god, they just can't sell.
Well, we're use not sales people. Yeah. You know, we don't, this isn't our favorite product or whatever. Oh, yeah.
It's too expensive.
It was all driven from,
they're already the spending stylist. A lot on their hair. Thinking they can't afford it. Shampoo.
Thinking, the guilt, right, exactly.
No one washes their hair anyway.
Right. Yeah. We also have, you know, at most maybe 10 small shelves of retail.
Yeah, so you weren't even
so
really.
And hold on, 10 small shelves sounds like a lot of shelves. The shelves were like 12 inches wide.
Yeah, no, they were like itty bitty.
Oh, upstairs here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you walked upstairs and you didn't.
You're like, oh, wait, you sell things here?
Right. It looks like, yeah. So when did you, what changed? Did you decide to get in the retail game?
Well, going back to anything else, you can't sell shampoo if you don't have shampoo. And if you're like playing it small in retail because you look at retail as a liability, like, oh God, if I don't sell this, I'll be stuck with it.
Right.
Then you're making decisions based on fear again. So like one foot in front of the other, is this really that scary? And we sat down, we had a team meeting, and I told the team, if you don't sell them shampoo, they are buying it from someone else. Everyone buys shampoo.
Right.
Let's just start with shampoo. Let's just start with that. And
well, so not to put Lisa on the spot, but I remember being here that day that she came in and did a retail class, and there were two specifically that it literally changed their life because it was able to change
me.
Them from
change
making
their
it
lives.
About
of course. That's what I do.
Lisa Bean, folks. Lisa Bean. Changing one stylist at a time.
Day maker.
But it wasn't about it being a product anymore. It was about it actually being something that benefited.
Right. An
they
extension
had spent
of,
so many hours and dollars in already investing in it.
And we call it shampoo insurance. If somebody has a complaint about their hair, like, oh, you know, got too brassy too soon, or we'll always say, well, what insurance do we do to our team? Like, what insurance?
Call your adjuster.
Really? I mean, it's a theme here. Once that happened and the team got more comfortable with shampoos, then we started visiting stylers. Then we had like a level system. So it's like good, better, best in terms of price.
Yeah.
It's all great. But if having retail classes with Evolve was a huge thing. Being able to goal plan with Evolve was a huge thing.
Understanding how to budget for retail and participating in things like Small Business Saturday and really marketing it to clients. These guys adapted social media very early.
Yep. Like
before.
When people were like, I'm not getting on the gram.
Yeah.
Did it start becoming a non-negotiable where before you let it slide, like, well, their customers just don't buy it, or it's just, so then it became like for you guys as leaders, like a non-negotiable, like you can't move up in this company until you get here.
Yeah. So, and you'll have stylists that don't want to move up, and that's cool too. We have a lot of stylists that are good about this being a part-time job, and even they have goals. We meet monthly with every stylist to recap where we've gone and where we're going. We post the numbers on the wall every single day, so they have to see it when they walk up the stairs.
They don't want to be the worst.
And for those that do want to climb up the ladder and go into senior positions or management positions, there are requirements, and this is one of them.
That's one of them. Like, you can't be in a leadership position if you haven't, like, met the goals to become a leader.
And there's several. And it's not your ability to sell shampoo. It's your ability to be a well-rounded stylist and give your customer what they need to have long-term relationships with you.
So we've gotten through all the crap. You guys like regrouped, recommitted. What you're busting literally through the doors. Like we couldn't even, Kristen and I couldn't find a place to stand down there. It was like waiting room only. What all this joy, the reframe, the going through tragedy and lots of different types to coming out on top. What big thing? What is the biggest part of this comeback story outside of every team member staying, bringing the joy back? What what is one of the benefits of that that's happening? Brag.
We're opening a second location.
So when they thought they could only be upstairs and sell coffee, no, they didn't sell coffee. they made a new location. They doubled, tripled their size in their current location, and now you're opening a second Luscious location.
So exciting.
How, like, what?
Yeah, well, I do want to say one of the things that we don't ever talk about because it doesn't matter from a business perspective, but it did help reconnect our group, especially after COVID, was we invested in an employee lounge / training room.
Ooh.
Which almost seems unnecessary, but with our size group, when you can't be on the floor while someone's processing and there's social distancing, we were really able to reconnect by having a really big space for these people.
Is it downstairs?
So, yeah.
Oh my God, so you have an employee lounge so they can go and talk and eat a sandwich.
We did our really scary basement. And oh my God. It's just a place where we get to be together, but we were really able to talk about fears and come up with new ideas. And opening a second location was always a goal. It was always something on our agenda. We seriously started considering it probably 3 years ago, and we had a map that would bring us there in 2020. Obviously, that didn't happen because of COVID and then because of the flood. When you have to pay out of pocket for a lot of business trauma like that, your savings that would have gone into opening a second location are gone. It's all of a sudden, it's like, are we not supposed to do this? Is that why this is happening? And just like with that life revelation, like, this is why I wanted to go into this. About within the last year, I found out that I had cancer, which I will share with you.
Wow.
Because again, it's like, if I don't have a lot of time left, how do I want to spend my time?
Yeah.
Great.
I have the tissues.
Damn you, lady!
I already cried. But
oh my God!
The truth is that, and I'm healthy, everything's fine. But the reason why I share that is because I don't, you know, we don't want to live from fear. We want to come from a place where we can continue helping people.
What if it fails, ladies? I mean, that's not a fearful statement, right? Do you have those thoughts though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we have those thoughts every day in life.
What's the mindset shift? What do you do with them?
You could fail at anything. And yeah. I think that if we didn't experience the failures that we did this entire time, we would never have the guts to do anything different. No one ever wants to leave perfect. That's just how it is. Yeah. Life is not designed to be perfect. Your fear is kind of what makes you want to keep growing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You probably couldn't breathe when you hear she has cancer. She's like
her
other half.
I mean, she has cancer.
Right. That's her other, like.
Yeah, so put that on the record.
She wasn't actually diagnosed with it, but she let's just let her tell her that she had it.
When
you have twin.
It's a real thing.
Oh my God. People are going to be like, they both had it at the same time. No. They didn't.
But you know what? I think that life nudges you in the right directions.
Yes. And so, like, are you healthy right now?
Yeah, I'm feeling so good. I'm so happy to be back.
Can we use, like, you're cancer-free?
Yeah, so I had everything.
I know it takes a while to actually.
To be removed, and you have to go back a lot until they say that. But we're moving in the right direction. I'm back to work, and I feel really good.
You look fabulous.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
I just am.
Plus, you couldn't do that to your sister.
No. There's a lot of pressure on the medical community.
I know. So everyone is healthy. We've got new babies. We've got kids. We've got joy. We have a team down there that was like, what I saw like was teamwork. People that are senior stylists were coming to check people in because reception was so backed up.
Yeah. I mean, I know that opening a second location is a huge deal, and obviously on paper, one of the biggest, like, quote unquote wins, but we hired 6 new people since opening from COVID.
That's
and that
awesome.
Was, you know, I think we hired 3 in October and then another 3 in the last month or so. So we've grown by the most beautiful people at a very, very scary time.
And I love what you said. You're opening a second location and you're bringing your Luscious staff to work there. Because you can't open a new location and bring in new people that aren't they're not Team Luscious. Mm-hmm. So they have to grow into that, right?
Yep.
So you're not just like hiring random people. They're going to go through the same program that everybody goes through. And so it's really going to be an extension of this business.
Yeah. We're really excited.
I'm really happy for you guys. And I appreciate you. You shared, I was not going to ask a lot of those. I wouldn't have brought up two of those things. And I'm so like grateful that you brought it up. Not gratefully. Well, I'm going to sob the whole ride home.
I will say this.
I'm going to sob the whole freaking ride home.
Like, tragedy.
I'm going to feel joy while I do it. I feel like a real sense of ease right now. Because I'm like, wow. Like, it's BS. If you can, you're going to get, it's mindset. It's picking your ass up. Right?
Yeah, it's also reminding yourself that bad things happen to everybody. Yeah. You know, if you're dealing with something right now, you're not dealing with it alone, even if it seems that way. I think we need to normalize talking about our fears and our problems because it helps a community of people stand back up if they can't.
You know? Yeah.
I think that's just the difference. By the way, it's funny you chose joy because we, Jess and I were just talking about the difference at our team meeting between happiness and joy. And for a long time, I feel like as a society, we chased happiness.
Yeah.
Like we wanted to be happy. And happy is just your response to what's happening around you.
Yeah.
Your happiness can be taken by anyone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Your joy is how you respond to standing back up. Your joy is a choice.
Yeah.
That oftentimes you have to make every day. It's not something you could just find in that easily. So.
And Tyler, like I saw him post, he goes, man, this is a freaking comeback story. And all of a sudden I'm like, we have to give people hope. And joy just came to me, like, Kristen and I have been, like, talking all afternoon, and I was like, that's the word. I want people to just get on this episode and feel it and know that anything is possible, no matter where you are right now. You might be in feeling right now like our clients aren't back. I don't know if this business is gonna survive. Make it happen. You can do it.
You can do it.
You can absolutely do it. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Luscious & Co. Follow them. They're doing amazing things. We're going to put all their links in the show notes. And thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. We hope you loved it as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. If you did, please take a screenshot of this episode and share it on your social channels. Share this podcast with your industry friends. And don't forget to leave us a review. If you have ideas for upcoming episodes that you'd like us to cover, or if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, email us at socialmedia@evolvesalonsystems.com.
We look forward to hearing from you, and we love bringing you great content for our incredible industry.